Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Today, Hank welcomes Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University and best-selling author of both scholarly and popular works, including A Skeleton in God's Closet and its sequel, More Than a Skeleton. Dr. Meyer has recently published the third edition in this series, The Constantine Codex. Stay tuned to find out more about this exciting book. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In just a moment, we'll be talking about the Constantine Codex by Dr. Paul Meyer. You can order the Constantine Codex on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. It is hard to know what the words of the Bible mean, says Bart Ehrman, who is the professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, if we don't even know what the words are. If God did not bother to miraculously save the original writings, there seems to be no reason to think that he performed the earlier miracle of inspiring those words in the first place, to wit, the elephant in the room. All we have are copies of copies of copies, with fresh errors cropping up in each stage of the copying process. We simply don't have the original writings. Of course, had God acquiesced to Bart Ehrman's conditions, we may well have an autograph enshrined in Rome, but we lack the epistemic certainty of its authenticity. Though the autograph is not under glass at the University of North Carolina, it is forever memorialized within a veritable mountain of manuscripts. And through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. In the end, we can all be deeply grateful for the practices of copyists who fulfilled their task with meticulous zeal. For an oral culture in which saints disciplined and dedicated themselves to recall the sayings of understanding, in which sages were predisposed to present their sayings in inherently memorable fashion. For the sheer volume of papyri and parchments dwarfing those of any other work in classical history. For the eyewitness testimony of those willing to shed their blood for the great truths they communicated. For the elegant tapestry that serves as an enduring internal evidence for divine authorship of the biblical text. For ancient, authoritative, external evidences that testify to the authenticity of the Bible. And of course, for the science of textual criticism by which the autographs emerge from the mountain of manuscript evidence. In just a moment, I want to pose a question. Is it possible that portions of the Bible may have gone missing? In other words, could it be that we have a fallible collection of infallible manuscripts? Before I do that, I want to make an introduction. My guest today, he is the author of the Constantine Codex. It's a historical thriller in which the main characters discover the oldest New Testament manuscript so far. In fact, manuscripts containing, among other things, the lost ending of the Gospel of Mark. Dr. Paul Meyer is professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University. He's a best-selling author of books including a skeleton in God's closet. He's a friend, and he's one of my favorite authors. And as always, it's a treat to have you back on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Dr. Meyer.
And this is obviously my favorite show. Thank you, Hank, for having me back. Just great to be with you.
You got it. Hey, what about the possibility that portions of the New Testament are still missing?
Well, I don't want my book to be confused with the Gnostic Gospel books and all making such a fuss about all the writings that never made it, that Dan Brown claiming that it's only by some stroke of luck that the Big Four finally made it, as though there was some kind of a March Madness, you know, a Sweet 16 and an Elite Eight and so forth, and Final Four finally made it. Nothing like that at all. All I do in this novel is simply posit the case that what if one of the 50 copies which the Emperor Constantine authorized Eusebius of Caesarea to have prepared, elegantly written a manuscript, prepared about 50 of them for the use in the early church. Now, not one of these has been discovered, but all I do here is posit the case that maybe one could be discovered, and would it have the same text? And, of course, it does, with one addition, and that is the lost ending of Mark, and possibly Second Acts. Now, again, I'm not trying to suggest in any way that this is true, but it's a lot of fun to run with that. And by the way, your statement in response to Bart Ehrman is absolutely on target. Despite all of the 5,700 manuscripts that have survived of the New Testament in whole or in part, there is not one doctrine of the Christian faith that is in any way affected by slight changes in spelling of some of the words and this punctuation, that kind of thing. That's all these differences amount to. And so I think it's just terrible for Ehrman to come along and publish his book called Forged. You know, first of all, it's not forgery at all because the Gospels are anonymous, most of them. So I agree with you. I mean, this man who's head of the religion department at Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina. I mean, what a position for him.
You know, one thing I want to do before we actually get into the Constantine Codex is ask you a basic question. Here you are, a distinguished professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University. You have encyclopedic knowledge with respect to so much regarding the biblical manuscripts. You could put this into prose that may be hard for the average person to grasp. In other words, you could easily keep away over the heads of people, but you've chosen to use the power of story to communicate logical truth propositions. Talk about using historical fiction and historical thrillers to communicate so that people can grasp the concepts and then use them to make a difference.
Well, thank you. But you've done the same thing, Hank. The idea of using fiction to communicate fact is what Jesus himself did in parables. Mm. And really, it's a wonderful way, I think, to communicate the truth. If you don't mess with the background. Now, the background of any novel, of any serious bit of writing, should be faithful. And this, again, is where Dan Brown erred so egregiously. He falsified the foreground. Help yourself. You do with your fictional characters what you want. But he also falsified the background, and that is just dirty pool. And in contrast to that, what I like to do is to educate while entertaining. And it can be done so easily. And, you know, when I do a historical novel, for example, I mean, I never contradict the truth because truth is stranger than fiction. You know, rely on it. It always is. And then in the contemporary novels also, the whole background is absolutely accurate in terms of biblical manuscript scholarship. And, of course, the subplot in the book, of course, is Islam, the greatest challenge to face the church, I think, in its entire history. Maybe, well, the Roman Empire trying to persecute it out of existence would be a competitor to that one. But Islam clearly is one of the greatest challenges, and I just love to take that on, too.
Yeah, look, before we actually get into Islam, which is something that I do want to talk about on the broadcast, I want to follow up a little bit more on your method for communicating logical truth propositions. If you look at one of your books, whether it's Pontius Pilate or A Skeleton in God's Closet or this particular book, The Constantine Codex, is it fair to say that if you were to make this analogous to a building, the bricks would be the facts, the mortar would be the fiction holding them together?
Yes, I like that illustration. That tells it exactly. Exactly. And I use as much brick as possible. Exactly.
So when you're reading the Constantine Codex, you're going to learn a lot from the standpoint of factual history regarding the biblical manuscripts, and you're going to read about it in such a way that you are entertained while you're being educated. So how come so many scholars today do think that the book of Mark is missing its ending?
Well, of course, the debate is rages on that one, Hank, as you well know. The present version we have, of course, ends with Mark chapter 16, verse 8, and the women were afraid. You know, what a downer in terms of ending the gospel. There's very little description of the resurrection in Mark and so on. And for that reason, a lot of scholars think that because it is the tail end of Mark's scroll, that that's a place where things get tattered and torn, and that could be the reason that I personally do think that he wouldn't have ended on such a downer. Now, that's not been proven, of course, and there are other conservative scholars who say, no, Mark has kept his bargain with us in terms of Jesus predicting his resurrection. That certainly is earlier in Mark chapter 16. But again, the other Gospels end so beautifully compared to this one, which seems a little abrupt.
And all the newer translations of the Bible make a notation at that point in Mark, letting us know that the oldest ancient manuscripts do not have the longer ending of Mark.
That's right. And in the longer ending, you have, you know, people drinking poison and picking up snakes and this kind of thing, which seems just a little bit wide of the mark in terms of good Christian ethics. And for that reason, you can tell this was added later on. And the great uncial manuscripts, that is the Sinaiticus and all the greatest, Alexandrinus, the Vaticanus, those great old manuscripts, do end, you know, in Mark 16, verse 8.
Talk about how through the science of textual criticism, the tenacity of the text, you actually have the autograph emerging so that we can be absolutely certain that what we have in the Bible is correct. We can base our lives upon it.
Well, it's a wonderful, ironical situation, and that is the further removed we are from the writing of the original text, the more accurately we're getting back to what those autographs were like, simply because of the science of textual criticism. Again, we'll use the term criticism. Sometimes people think this is higher criticism or something like that, but no. It's the work of scholars trying to get back to the original text without any additions that are accidentally added by a scribe or different spellings and this kind of thing. For that, you have to have a broad range of manuscripts. For example, we're celebrating the anniversary of the King James Bible. Well, in 1611, the translators there had only six Greek manuscripts to work with. Then in 1870, when the authorized version came out, I should say in 1870, the first AV, there were by that time 2,000 manuscripts in whole or in part, which gave us an even razor edge, more accurate version. But today, we have 5,700 biblical manuscripts in whole or in part, which is a wonderful base to work with in terms of getting back more and more and more to the actual even spelling of the original text. And, of course, we have to prove that we have an absolutely faithful manuscript transmission in terms of 99% of the text. The Dead Sea Scrolls have done us a big favor, as you well know, in terms of the Old Testament, where we have two complete scrolls of the prophet Isaiah, which, when compared with the Masoretic text, which was the only earliest text known, in 1006 A.D., scholars immediately could jump in and see there was a 12th-century gap now, and they could compare the wording and the spelling of Isaiah in manuscripts that were 200 years old in Jesus' day with the 11th-century text, and they are 99%+ the same. So when you're dealing with God's Word, these scribes don't feel like, you know, changing what God said.
The Constantine Codex by my guest, Dr. Paul Meyer, is a spellbinder. I loved reading it. My family loved reading it. You'll love reading it as well. It is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, when we come back from the break, I want to ask Dr. Paul Meyer about Paul's life and how it ended. I mean, we're left hanging in Acts. Is there any historical information that might fill in the missing pieces? We're going to talk about that when we come back in just a few moments with my guest, Dr. Paul Meyer.
Harvard professor Jonathan Weber is finally enjoying a season of peace when a shocking discovery thrust him into the national spotlight once again. While touring monasteries in Greece, John and his wife Shannon uncover an ancient biblical manuscript containing the lost ending of Mark, as well as an additional book of the Bible. Find out how these discoveries changed the course of Christianity and Dr. Paul Meyer's page-turning historical thriller, The Constantine Codex. Order by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online at equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfe's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Today, Hank welcomes Dr. Paul Meyer to discuss his latest novel, The Constantine Codex. Dr. Meyer is a rare combination of masterful storyteller and historian. The Constantine Codex, the third in the Skeleton series, is a brilliant use of the power of story that will not only excite you, but educate you as well. To order The Constantine Codex from the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. And now, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. My apologies to all you hanging on, waiting for your questions to be answered. I'll either start answering them in the third segment of today's broadcast, or I'll stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air, and I'll take your questions then. Right now, I'm talking to Dr. Paul Meyer about a book that is great summer reading. It's called The Constantine Codex. It is from the best-selling author of A Skeleton in God's Closet and many other books that I absolutely love, including Pontius Pilate, which was one of my all-time favorites. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org, through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, by simply picking up the phone, talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. One of the things that always keeps us in suspense as we read through the Bible is the fact that we just don't know what happened to the Apostle Paul. The book of Acts ends with Paul in his own rented house, and he's got an opportunity to communicate the Word of God and teach and preach the principles of the kingdom of God, and certainly about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we don't know what happened to him. So why doesn't the Bible tell us how the Apostle Paul's life ended while he was in Rome?
You know, if you share my experience, whenever I do a Bible study in the book of Acts, it's always so frustrating when you come to chapter 28, and there Paul is waiting for his trial before Nero. And if the trial had taken place, Luke would certainly have told us. Wild horses couldn't have prevented him from telling us, because Luke loves trials. He loves Paul's appearances before the authorities throughout the book of Acts. And this leads me to think that if there ever were a missing book of the Bible, I think it would begin this third treatise, O Theophilus. The first treatise, O Theophilus, of course, is the gospel bearing Luke's name. The second treatise, O Theophilus, the book of Acts. And so I posit that what if Acts, second Acts, were discovered, in which we can extrapolate what happened to Paul in Rome. And the evidence is pretty strong that he beat the rap the first time when he stood before Nero, certainly before the fire of Rome in 64. It would have to be 62, 63. And Luke, therefore, also must have written the book of Acts and the prior book, the gospel bearing his name, before the great fire of Rome and before the fall of Jerusalem. Else he would have had to have mentioned, especially the fall of Jerusalem. Don't you think, Hank? Really, there's more and more textual scholarship among the biblical experts that the Synoptic Gospels really deserve an earlier and earlier dating. They really do. You know, the standard explanation was it had to happen after the fall of Jerusalem because Jesus couldn't possibly have prophesied the fall of Jerusalem and so forth. That's simply the common knee-jerk reaction among some critical scholars. But I think the evidence is overpowering that the Synoptics had to have been written before not only the fall of Jerusalem, but before the fire of Rome.
Yeah, we can say that all of the Bible is completed.
Noel Friedman, the great editor of the Anchor Bible, agrees with this before his passing, and there are others.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we can say that all of the Bible was completed before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. I want to get back to the title of your book, the Constantine Codex. So who was Constantine? What was his codex?
Okay. Constantine, or Constantine, pronounce it as you wish, was the first Roman emperor to convert to Christianity, a momentous occasion, which then is going to stop the persecutions of the early Christian church. It was in the early 300s that he converted to Christianity, and this, of course, made all the difference in the future. This is the idea that St. Paul had in mind when he wanted to, by all means, get to Rome so that he could convert the top man, assuming that in pyramidization the rest would follow. And that happened, because when the 300s were finished, Rome was 95% Christian. It was only 10% Christian at the start of the 300s. And so we have a momentous conversion here. And the Codex is the earliest written book, the earliest book form, I should say. They used scrolls before this. But finally, they had the great idea of cutting the scrolls into pages and gluing them or fastening them on one side. And what do you know? Voila, the book is the result. And the Christian church, by the way, had a very major role in establishing the book format, interestingly enough. And so this would be one of the 50 copies, this is a historical fact, that the Emperor Constantine authorized Eusebius, the father of church history, to have prepared an elegant writing form for use in the early church. Now, again, not one of these has been discovered, but I posit in the Constantine Codex, what if one were, and what would it contain?
You think it's possible?
I really do. It certainly is possible, because we have all kinds of interesting manuscripts being discovered of the New Testament, even in Albania, for example, which was such a communist state. They've discovered about 30 new, not new, of course, but 30 ancient portions of the New Testament there. And so, who knows? It could still happen.
And that's exactly why we call this an explosive new thriller. And again, it is from the best-selling author of A Skeleton in God's Closet, Dr. Paul Meyer, my guest. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org, via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. The book is about a Harvard professor, Jonathan Weber. He's finally enjoying a season of peace, and then a shocking discovery thrusts him into the national spotlight once again. He's touring monasteries in Greece, and while he's doing that, John and his wife Shannon, who is a seasoned archaeologist, uncover this ancient biblical manuscript. It contains the lost ending of Mark and a 67th book. So if it's proven authentic, the Codex could forever change the course of church history and the way in which the world views the Bible. So as John and Shannon work to validate their find, it soon becomes clear that there are powerful forces who don't want this codex to go public. When it's stolen en route to America, John and Shannon are swept into a deadly race. They want to find the truth and the manuscript and confirm its authenticity before it's again lost forever. Again, the Constantine Codex, it is a book you don't want to miss. And when you get done, you will be once again encouraged, exhorted, and equipped to be able to communicate that the Bible is, in fact, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. It is available, the best way to order, online at equip.org. One of the other questions that I have for you has to do with what takes place in this book, and that is a debate between the main character and a Muslim scholar. The debate takes place in Turkey. Why is this such a substantial part of the book?
Well, all three of my Skeleton Series books deal with a crisis that could face the church and how the church should respond to such a crisis if it ever happened. In the first book, A Skeleton in God's Closet, I, of course, dealt with a diabolical plot that really would have doomed the faith if it were proven authentic. And the second one, a similar fraud, and somebody masquerading as Christ. But this one, I just finally figured out that I think in the 20 centuries of church history, there has been no greater threat to the faith than the second largest religious system in the world, Islam. Everybody thinks it's such a current threat because of 9/11, but it's only been facing the church for the last 14 centuries. And during that time, there's been very little debate, I think, between Christians and Muslims. Today, of course, there's a lot of antagonism on both sides. But what I tried to do here was to have my hero, my protagonist, John, debate the leading mullah, you might say, in Islam, the rector of the Al-Azhar University and Mosque in Cairo, who's really the world spokesman for Islam, and have them debate right at the summit, you know, and here to bring out all the intellectual arguments for and against the one or the other. What do the Muslims have against Christianity? What do Christians have against Islam? And so on. And so this, I think, could form something of a model for how Christian-Muslim debates should take place, again, avoiding the rancor and the hostility or the papering over of differences. I mean, we get down to the nitty-gritty in this book to show what a debate like this would be like. And so I had a lot of fun writing it, for sure.
And this is all about authority, isn't it? I mean, we need to be able to say with certainty that the Bible is a divine authority, and to be able to demonstrate that the Quran is not a divine authority.
Well, there's no question about it. When you compare the credentials of Christianity, not only with Islam, but with any other world religious system. You know, I got a seminar up called Christianity in the Competition, and I did the advanced research in the other world religious systems, as you have also, Hank. And isn't it amazing when you compare the so-called holy books of the other world religious systems with our holy book? There's no contest. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's no competition there on any intellectual basis. In fact, I often make the statement there's only one other world religious system that has a holy book whose credentials are intact, and that would be our parent Judaism. Their holy book is called the Hebrew Bible. We call it the Old Testament. But that's the only other one compared to the other religious systems, including the Quran. I don't want a fatwa on my head, so I'd be careful in terms of the readership. But I think between the lines you can read there's an overpowering case for the credibility of Christianity versus Islam, which is pretty apparent, I think, on every page.
On the other side of the break, I have some more questions for Dr. Paul Meyer, one of which has to do with the opening of the broadcast, when I talked about the Bible being a fallible collection of infallible manuscripts. This is not unique to me. Dr. R.C. Sproul and others have said just that it is a fallible collection of infallible manuscripts. We're going to be talking about that on the other side of the break with Dr. Paul Meyer. But we're going to get more into this whole issue of Islam. How significant is it for us to always be prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, particularly when it comes to the advance of Islam? We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of Dr. Paul Meyer. Do remember, in the meantime, the Constantine Codex, available on the World Wide Web, at equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Meyer is a rare combination of masterful storyteller and historian. The Constantine Codex, the third in the Skeleton series, is a brilliant use of the power of story that will not only excite you, but educate you as well. To order the Constantine Codex from the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. And we are so encouraged to hear listeners express their gratitude.
Hi, Hank. I've learned so much during the years. Thank you so much for your life and for your ministry.
Let me just say, I really appreciate your fact and scripturally based approach to this ministry.
Thanks for being faithful in your ministry. I pray for you all the time. I support you every month, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year, and we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. If you've listened to the Bible Answer Man for any period of time, then you know our uncompromising devotion to truth. In our feel-good culture, truth hangs in the balance, and that's why it's so important that we end our fiscal year on budget. To donate by phone, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Thank you in advance for your faithfulness. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank.
Thank you very much, Randy, and for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. A special time to make that gift right now, as Randy just mentioned. This is a time in which we are facing a critical financial shortfall. It is just before the end of our fiscal year, so if you can Help us with that. Make a difference, not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. I'd love to send you the Constantine Codex as my way of saying thank you. Again, you can make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can certainly give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Back to Dr. Paul Meyer. Dr. Meyer, one of the things that I've said on the broadcast, in fact, I said it at the opening of the broadcast today, is that many Protestant theologians, many scholars, Dr. R.C. Sproul, for one, who is someone that I admire greatly, points out that from a Protestant perspective, the Bible is a fallible collection of infallible books. Now, when a lot of people hear that, that might raise a hackle on their back. It may cause them to go into a tailspin. What are we saying when we say that the Bible is a fallible collection of infallible books?
It's a neat phrase. It really is. And it's very, very true in the sense that the editing of the Bible was, of course, a work of the earliest church. Canonicity, it's called. What is the rule of faith? And this was established on three primary bases. First of all, the documents had to be written by an eyewitness or a near eyewitness. Secondly, the material has to be coherent with the rest of Christianity. And third, it has to be used widely in the early church. Well, what happened, of course, is we don't have a great masterful edition published in Jerusalem in the year 60 or something like that and then sent out across the world. You have the various contents being added by following those three rules and the practice of the early church. And so for that reason, the books may not be in exact chronological order. For example, the Pauline corpus, as it's called, all of Paul's writings were really first before the Gospels. They were written earliest. 1 Corinthians, for example, within 20 years of the resurrection, which is important in itself, by the way, proving that this long tradition building did not take place. In contrast, the Quran, for example, was written about 200 years, written down after the prophet. And for this reason, the book doesn't read exactly as we would in a book published today, chronologically or then sometimes thematically. And so the collecting of the books, they are indeed everything we'll ever need to know. We don't have to have a second Acts. We don't have to have the Lost Ending of Mark and so on. But I chose those two because this is probably at the top of the list, a wish list, for many biblical scholars if anything were discovered that way. So there's no reason that you can't have infallible, important revelation from God. And there may just possibly have been other inspired writings that the church didn't frankly need because they didn't survive. For example, there's a lost letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, which would have biblical authority if it were discovered. And maybe it will be one day. Hard to say.
One of the things that people ought to recognize in this conversation is that there are a lot of people like Bart Ehrman, I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast. He wants an autograph, and he says that's the elephant in the room, as it were. We don't have the autograph. So how do we know what the words really are? And yet what we are saying is that through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. If there was an autograph, it could have been controlled by an ecclesiastical authority, but rather than having an autograph, God did something else. Long before anyone could control, these autographs were copied. And the copies were buried in the sands of time, and they have, as you pointed out early on in the broadcast, they have now emerged. And through those manuscript copies, through the science of textual criticism, you can get back to the autograph. So in one sense, Dr. Meyer, we have the autograph. It is, as it were, in the manuscripts themselves, and out of the manuscripts, the autograph emerges.
Absolutely. That's a very faithful elucidation of the facts. There's no question about that. And you see, again, Bart Ehrman's whole sensationalizing idea, even from the title. You know, by the way, his publisher is equally responsible, I think, for this kind of fraud. We often have, you know, the author always attacked, but his publisher is equally guilty on this. Harper, I'm really very disappointed in them. And just as I'm disappointed in Doubleday for ever producing that book of lies, The Da Vinci Code. Where's business ethics? Whatever happened to our society in terms of the loose morals, sensationalism for sensationalism's sake? Again, to do your own publishing fraud in the process? No, we obviously have 99.8% of the meat of the text, and there's just no debate about that. When you have the church fathers, for example, many different church fathers, the Latin church fathers in the West, the Greek church fathers in the East, making quotes from their version of the Bible, it's the same as what we have today. It's absolutely reliable. And so this idea that, everything was changed real quickly, that doesn't work. It doesn't work for Mormonism. They make that claim. And it doesn't work for Islam. The main tenet of Islam is that, too bad the biblical manuscripts got tampered with and error was building upon error, so that God had to finally reveal to Muhammad through Gabriel the final version of what should be the Bible. Well, that doesn't work. And it works even less for Mormonism, because they claim the Bible got corrupted within the first century, which is impossible, absolutely impossible.
One final question, in that we're running out of time, but you have in the book a Muslim scholar in Turkey debating a Christian scholar, and obviously you did that for a reason, and you obviously want Christians to know how to discuss these kinds of things, authority, with Muslims, because we need to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer. So in the process of giving this fictional debate, we learn how to engage a Muslim with gentleness and with respect, and in a way that we can reach rather than repel.
That's exactly what I hope to accomplish, Hank. Exactly. I couldn't have phrased it better myself. Yeah, absolutely. And Istanbul, because that's the interface between the Christian West and the Muslim Middle East. There's the city of the interface.
You are, of course, as I said at the opening of the broadcast, a friend and an incredible author, and I do appreciate your latest book. I had a great deal of fun reading it, and appreciate your work in general, your friendship, and pray that God will continue to richly bless and use you for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
Well, Hank, I would say exactly the same thing about the Christian Research Organization. Let me tell you, with so many sensationalists, even in the name of Christianity, the health, wealth, gospel people and so on, or the critics on the other hand, you've steered a marvelous middle course through all the mayhem to the left and the right of us. And so I have nothing but the highest admiration for you, your ministry, the whole Christian Research Institute organization.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Of course, that was Dr. Paul Meyer. He is the author of the Constantine Codex. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online again for your gift at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And please be generous. This is approaching the time of the end of our fiscal year. This is a make-it-or-break-it time for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So please, again, be generous. Whatever you give will be used for God's glory, for the extension of his kingdom. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue, or we'll actually start taking your calls, and we'll air my answers to your questions on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial right now, 888-ASK, Hank translates it, 888-275-4265. Again, for the next hour, I'll be answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, I'll record my answers to your questions. We'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I am traveling. Want to mention also the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized. Every morning I have the privilege of sitting at my desk personalizing copies of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Two ways. One is when you give a gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. The other, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. It is critical for many to join us, not just as a one-time giver, but as regular givers. Every month, the radio bills come due every month. We need people like you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. And some months, as next month, I'm going to make a book available to you, which is a rather expensive hardback book. I'm going to do it on faith because I really believe in this book. I'll be telling you more about it next month. But when I do that, I'm taking a step of faith because we are sending something very dear, very expensive out to our constituency because we want to equip you, because we want you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. The ministry is not about the hired gun. Never was, never should have been. The ministry is about every believer being ready to give an answer. That is precisely why I'm president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason I'm here is to take the complex, make it simple, make it transferable, so that you might be equipped to reach people within your sphere of influence, so that you might be empowered to lay up for yourselves treasures not on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, stand with us prayerfully and financially. Together we can as yet turn the world upside down. That's not an empty hope. They did it in the first century. We can do it in our century as well. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
We'd like to thank Dr. Paul Meyer for joining us today on the Bible Answer Man. To order the Constantine Codex, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also order online in a safe and secure fashion at equip.org, where you'll find other books by Dr. Meyer, as well as a wealth of resources to equip you. Again, that's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. In a time of complacency and compromise when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. To stand with us in the battle for truth and help us meet our crucial June 30th deadline, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
New monasticism is a movement of young Christians abandoning the comforts of upper and middle class life and relocating into communes to cultivate social reforms. There are many positive aspects to the new monastic movement. However, their hope of imagining new ways to express the authentic church will come to ruin unless they remain faithful to the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Find out more in Warren Nozaki's article entitled "The New Monasticism: A Quest for Spiritual Renewal in the Urban Desert." Other topics include compassionate adoption for the most helpless, the Christian citizen, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.